I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to The Functional Nerds, episode number 203. And John, as we're recording this, we're actually one day away from the Hugos. So Hugos are kind of like Schrodinger's cat right now.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I did see a little bit about that and on the blogosphere this past week that a lot of people are assembling in London for that. So that is very cool. Well, good luck with that. That is Patrick Hester. He's an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude, nominated for the aforementioned Hugos. You can check out his website, atfmb.com, and follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. You can check out my music over at johnanilio.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at John Anilio. And this week we are joined by Rob Bedford. Rob is a blogger and a book reviewer. He writes for Tor.com, SF Signal, SFF World, and his own blog, Rob's Blog of Stuff. You can find him online at robbedford.blogspot.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob H. Bedford. Rob, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here.
You can find his stuff online, John, but try to find a picture of him. Go ahead.
You'll probably find a picture of my dog before you find a picture of me.
Yeah, it seems like Rob. Because what's your Twitter avatar at this point? What do you have on your Twitter picture at this point?
I'm up in a tree that I was trimming.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to make me out because I kind of blend in
with the tree. You're very tree-like. You're very Groot.
I am Groot.
I'm Groot. Well, yeah. Tree was one of my many nicknames.
Yeah. So I don't think Rob and Patrick ever met in person, but Rob is a big dude as well, a big, tall dude. So I always feel very small hanging out with Patrick or Rob. You guys both have like a good 6 inches on me. So that's how tall are you, Patrick? What's your height?
I'm between 6'2 and 6'4, depending on the convenience store that I'm leaving.
All right, right. And Rob, how tall are you? You're right around there, right?
I say 6'2". My wife says 6'3", so I'll agree with her.
Okay, very good.
That is a safe and sane choice.
Yeah, and I'm clocking in at 5'8" if I like really make sure I extend my back and have good posture. And all
John,
that
if I'm not mistaken, Rob is one of the few book reviewers who ever actually reviewed something that I wrote and liked it.
Ooh, that's cool. Well, we should have had you on the podcast. We should have had you on the podcast a lot sooner then, Rob. I can't believe it's taken this long. If you're going to positively review Patrick's work, then
you can review the books. I haven't written any of them yet. Well, I've written them, but yeah. I haven't published any.
Yeah. So we're going to get into a bunch of different things today because, like I said, Rob and I don't live too far from each other, and Rob and I are sort of we'll go to these events in New York sometimes together, and we realize there's a lot of people in this community that are in New Jersey where we live, and so we're sort of kind of on the mission to try to organize in real life stuff a little more. I think in our community, we tend to live our lives online. And that's all well and good, but I think I'm kind of on this kick lately where I think it's really important to have more human face-to-face interaction. Yes, preferably with beer or a beverage of your choice. But I think... I think we're just all much better people when we're face-to-face. I think, unfortunately, online, I think, and even if you don't count all of the, I'll put it as unpleasant stuff that seems to come up in our community, especially over the past year or two, there's been all sorts of nasty stuff that's come up. I just think in general, if the majority of your interactions with people is online, I think it can be kind of a depressing thing. I'm not exactly sure why, but I think when you actually have these face-to-face interactions, I think it's so much better for you on a personal level. And Patrick, I know that you do a lot these days with like writers groups and things like that. I'm curious your feelings about that, Patrick.
Well, first off, John, I think that you have hit upon a very profound and thoughtful kind of item. No, seriously, because I think that, that can be a problem in that, you know, when you're online, you're anonymous, even if you're not, because you don't have to actually face the person. You don't have to look at them, you know, look them in the eye and talk. So yeah, I love trying to do more face-to-face things. However, the other thing I took away from what you just said was that all it would take is one decent gathering with a lot of people in a Sharknado, and a good portion of the publishing industry would be wiped out.
I don't know if you can put decent Sharknado in the same sentence.
You know what? I actually envy what the things that you do there, John, and the events that you get to go to and meet all these people. I have tried to organize something similar to that because Colorado does have a good chunk of authors. And whenever I try, I get a lot of people saying, you know, we see each other at conventions.
Yeah, well, you know what? Rob and I are kind of discovering, or I'm just discovering this as a human being, not even necessarily as it applies to the science fiction and fantasy community, but I have found as an adult, especially as you get older and you have a full-time job and you're married or have a significant other and kids or whatever, it's very hard to just hang out. You know,
break routine.
Yeah, it's very hard to do it. But what so if you put it out there like, what day works for everybody? Nothing will ever happen. So what I've kind of come across is to just be very proactive and just be like, we're gonna do it this night, and this time and this location. And if you can make it, come. And if you can't, no big deal. And I've found that just people tend to come. You know, I hope Rob doesn't mind that I bring this up, but you know, Rob and I just met this past week, and I invited a couple of other folks that I know live in the general area. And so it was Rob and I and Ed Lazzaleri, who's a great author who's published through Tor. He lives in New Jersey, and he was like, we had him on the podcast quite a long time ago, actually. And he's like, yeah, sure, sounds good. So Rob and Ed and I met up at this bar in Morristown and had a couple drinks and talked about Guardians of the Galaxy and other stuff, and it was really
music
nice.
And whatnot. Music,
you know, talked a lot about like Van Halen and Guns N' Roses and stuff, but it was just, it's much better now. Rob and Ed and I were just talking on Twitter. Maybe we would have had a couple of okay back and forths, but it's that sort of in real life space is really good. So I find that if you're proactive, and again, we're fortunate that we live in an area where everything's kind of close together. So, you know, Ed doesn't live that far and he was able to kind of make it, and public transit's decent where we are. So, you know, he was able to hop a train. But, you know, and of course, New York, a lot of the publishing is based out of New York. But the problem with New Jersey and New York is it's a pain to get into New York if you're in New Jersey because...
Yeah, nobody likes to cross the river.
No. Those, you know, Jersey folks will go into New York sometimes, but you're not going to get a lot of New York people coming into New Jersey all that frequently. No. It's too expensive. It's you know, it costs you an arm and a leg just to get there. But anyway,
and I feel more inclined to want to read Ed's book after meeting him. You know, I knew about it, but talking to him about it a little bit and just hearing some of his background and how he worked for Marvel Comics. You know, that seems pretty cool. It seems like a good background to put together a story. So
yeah, and he was an artist there too. He wasn't really even a writer. Ed was an artist at Marvel. He was in the bullpen.
Working doing story.
Yeah. No, well, that's part of the whole Marvel school of art is that you're really half of the storyteller, if not more sometimes, depending on it.
But, yeah, but then but you don't get anything for it.
That's true. Yeah, because Ed was telling us that he actually drew, I guess it was an annual or something of Guardians of the Galaxy, like way back in the day. And
yeah.
And Rob's first question was like, oh, are you getting any royalties? He's like, no.
I don't know. You see the credits at the end of the movie and they list, you know, it seems like they, in the last, I guess the last five or six movies, they're listing more creators of the comic. So at least... Especially if they created the character.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's so one of my favorite runs from Marvel was G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Larry Hama ruled that book. He did everything and he kept it consistent. He kept it really good storytelling. And, you know, he ran that book and he resisted any attempts from Marvel to do weird shit. He to this day, the one thing he's pissed about is that they did a miniseries crossover between G.I. Joe and Transformers during his mm-hmm. run, and he refused to consider that any of it as part of his book. You know, he just didn't want anything to do with it. Anyway,
when Starscream met Cobra Commander, though?
Yeah,
they kind of sounded alike.
It was a great run. I am friends with him on Facebook. I have interacted with him. I wanted him on a podcast. He says, "What do you want to talk about?" And I told him, you know, how I loved that book. And he's like, "Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't get squat for that. So I have no desire to promote something that I don't get paid for."
Well, doesn't IDW have like a few different G.I. Joe series, and isn't he writing one of them?
Yes.
Thought so.
Yeah. But he doesn't want to talk about the past stuff at all.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
I mean, that's the way it goes. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And Patrick, why don't you go first this week with your pick?
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me.
So, John, my pick this week is the soundtrack.
Ah, there you go.
The awesome mix, Volume 1, Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's great. I've been listening to it for like weeks, dude.
Oh my God. I love this soundtrack. And what's a bummer is I said something about this on Facebook. I'm like, I love the soundtrack. And someone's like, oh, that's the time life history of the 70s soundtrack. It was horrible. It was the worst part of the movie. And I'm like, are you insane?
No. No, could not disagree more with that statement.
It was so good. Yeah. I loved that soundtrack.
Yeah. It's great. I've been listening to it. It's on Spotify too, even though the official one's not on Spotify, but all those songs are just there from various other albums. So some enough people put them together where you can get it. It's great. And yes, I would agree with the 70s AM gold or whatever you want to call it. I love that stuff. I think that's really it's just great music anyway. I know I have a nostalgic reaction to it because that's kind of the first music I remember. I'm born in 1974, so the first songs that I remember hearing on the radio are that time period, you know, late 70s. So that was like sort of the pop of that time. And I went on a kick a few years back where I knew those songs, but I had no idea what the names of them were or who the artists were.
Yes.
So I spent like literally years tracking down, and I built up an awesome soft rock collection, 70s amp. So Patrick, I will have to email you a bunch of names because you won't remember the names of any of this stuff, but you'll remember the songs.
Exactly.
And I love it. And that's a really well put together soundtrack.
They're all good.
It was perfect for the movie. And typically that stuff is a little out of my wheelhouse, but you couldn't have made a better soundtrack for that movie.
No, it was fantastic.
And I think one of the other things that's cool.
And then this is famous because of Groot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how does Marvel not have that in stores now?
I know. That's like dropping the ball big time.
I know.
Really?
I know. Yeah.
That were easy to find trades on Amazon or bookstores.
And I've heard that the motion capture for that was actually the director, James Gunn, doing that.
That's cool. That's cool. You know, one of the things I wanted to mention about the soundtrack, I read a really interesting article. I forget where I read it. It was maybe on Wired or on IO9 or something. But they were saying how, you know, Guardians was sort of presented as this sort of Star Wars-esque thing. And one of the reasons, although if you see the movie, it fits perfectly into the plot of the movie, was that, and whether this was intentional or not, you don't know, but people who love Star Wars who are maybe in our age, by having that music there, even though those songs had nothing to do with Star Wars, it does make you feel nostalgia for that late 70s. So it sort of gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling that you had watching Star Wars when you were little. So, you know, I think that definitely enhanced the movie. So that's very cool. And one other point about that, Patrick. So one of the songs on that is Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Elvin Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Go and YouTube that name and the Winery Dogs, and the Winery Dogs are a band that I've brought up before. They actually covered that when I saw them live, and there's a great video of them playing it. And it's they do a pretty straight up cover of it, but there's a live version of them playing, and Richie Kotzen, who's the singer, really kills it vocally. Does some.
Is that on their debut album?
It's not on their album. They just do it live. But you could find it on YouTube because they did a live DVD in Japan. So it's like the Japanese DVD, but the clips are up on YouTube. So if you fooled around and fell in love with the Winery Dogs, you'll find it. And they kill it. You just hear Billy Sheehan, Mike Portnoy, and Rich Kotzen killing it on their instruments and singing it great. So that is a great pick. I support that wholeheartedly, Patrick. All right, Rob, what is your pick this week?
I'm going to go with The Strain on FX. I don't see a lot of people talking about it, at least in our in the Twitter circles that I'm in and the online circles that I'm in. But it's I'm pretty impressed with the show. It's Del Toro directed the first episode. It's based on the novels he wrote a couple years ago with Chuck Hogan. And it takes the vampire myth and brings it back to like its dark, creepy horror roots. No sparkly vampires, no shiny vampires, no vampires that can really come out in the day. And I'm impressed with how it's been so far. You've got David Bradley in it as basically a Van Helsing character. And we all know him from the Harry Potter movies, from Adventure in Space and Time, from an episode of TV's Doctor Who, from Game of Thrones. And, you know, he's making a career renaissance at his age. And he's the only, you know, nitpick I can say about it is that his accent fluctuates between British, Polish, German, and American. It fluctuates a little bit, but it's always gravelly, and it's pretty good.
He was amazing as Hartnell.
He was awesome. It was the best thing that of Doctor Who since Tennant left, I think.
Yeah, it was very, very good. I still have that on my DVR. I refuse to delete it.
He was also good in, I don't know if you saw Broadchurch.
I only saw the first couple episodes of that with Tennant.
Yeah, it was really good. It's the least uplifting thing I've watched in the last couple of years, but it was incredible. Mm. Samwise / Rudy is in The Strain as well.
Oh, cool.
So it's got some genre clout, and it's a fun story. The vampires are created by parasites that enter the body, and it kind of takes over, and it just you see some of the characters change from just being sick to becoming vampires. And over the first, I think the sixth or seventh episode is on tomorrow. They're doing a pretty good job. I think it's already renewed for a second season.
Now, I prefer to think of Sean Astin as he was in his iconic and career defining role as the tourist in the television movie version of The Colors of Magic.
Oh, he was in that. I had that on DVD, I think, at one point. I just never got around to watching it.
Yeah.
And he's always going to be Mikey.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. Very good. My pick this week is I tweeted out a few and Facebooked out a few days ago or a few weeks ago now. If anybody could recommend a good like metal rock podcast, which is kind of interesting because podcasts, they don't really, unless they're really small, you really don't have to like play music on podcasts because you'd have to clear it. So you just
cough.
Yeah. Well, anytime I've tried to find something, I can never find anything good. But a couple of people recommended a few things, and I found a couple, and I'm actually listening to two or three different ones now, but I'm going to pick the one that I've been listening to the most. And this is a podcast by a guy named Dean Del Rey. And so if I think you just look in the iTunes store for Dean Del Rey, it'll probably come up with the name of the podcast. It's called Let There Be Talk, sort of a takeoff on the Let There Be Rock. And it's Dean Del Rey is now a comedian, but he played in bands for a long, long time. And so he was sort of all around these various like rock and metal bands, and he's friends with all of these different musicians. So he's got this great So he's been doing the podcast for maybe like 2 years, so there's a good 100-something episodes there. And I just went through and like cherry-picked like the 20 that were guys that I really wanted to hear. And he's a surprisingly good interviewer because he is a comedian and he is a little raggedy and he doesn't necessarily come off as the super brightest guy in the world, but because he knows that world, he gets – like I listened to three episodes by like – three different members of Mr. Big, which is a band that I like. And I found out more about that band in those three episodes than I ever knew. And I've been a big fan of that band for 20 years, and I never knew half of the stuff. So it's really cool. And he interviews lots of different people. And he interviews some comedians and actors and stuff too sometimes, but it's mostly rock guys. So it's a really cool podcast called Dean Del Rey, Let There Be Talk. And if you like the kind of rock and metal that I often talk about on the show, you will like that podcast, I think. One little bit of disclaimer. He often does like a 10-minute preamble at the beginning of the podcast. You could skip over that. That's just him blabbing about, I don't even know what. Fast forward till you get to the interview, then it's good. But the first 10 minutes is a little rambly.
I just started subscribing to that one after talking to you on Wednesday. I haven't listened to it yet, but yeah. It's in my queue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Dave Lombardo, the drummer from Slayer, is the most recent guest. So, yeah, he gets some really top-tier music guests. So very, very good stuff there. So, cool. All right, Patrick, you had your pick already. So let's get on into the next part. So, Rob, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to have Rob on, besides the fact that he's a friend, is that, you know, the community that we're part of, you know, on this podcast, we mostly have authors. But I think what makes up a very large part of our community is podcasters, book reviewers, bloggers. You know, I think that has become sort of the lifeblood of genre. I really do. And just even in talking to various publicists and things like that, I think they realize the significance that people like Rob have, because, you know, this kind of stuff does not get covered in newspapers, really, or in magazines or anything like that. So it's sort of the blogs and the podcasts are their major way to get the word out about these books. And Rob has been doing this for a pretty long time. I think the lifespan of a blogger is typically pretty short for them to stay on one thing, at least anyway. And Rob's been at this for quite a while, like sort of even predating blogs in a certain way, I think.
Yeah.
So Rob, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you get started? Because I think a lot of people that listen to the show are bloggers or are reviewers or are, you know, in the community in one way or the other. And I think they'd be curious to hear how you got started.
Well, many moons ago, before there was Twitter, in a world where there was just discussion forums.
In a world where there was only discussion forums.
Entered one man into the fray. So I started looking around for places to talk about the Wheel of Time and other fantasy books and stuff like that. I found a website called SFF World, Science Fiction and Fantasy World. They had a discussion forum. I joined the discussion forum. At the time, I went under the name of Fitz Flag because I was a big Robin Hobb fan and a big Stephen King fan. And, you know, hanging around in the forums and getting to, you know, talk about the books was pretty cool. But the owner of the site then asked me if I wanted to be a forum moderator. So basically making sure the kids played nice. And that led to reviewing books, getting, you know, having authors contact me who were participating in the forums, and then eventually getting in touch with publishers and having them send me books. So I've always been reviewing for Science Fiction and Fantasy World since, I think my first review for them probably went up in 03, 02. Mm-hmm. But I was part of that forum since 2000, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, 04 is when I started my blog, and at the time it was just basically to link to the reviews that I was publishing at Science Fiction and Fantasy World. Did that for a while, and getting to know the publicists at various publishers through email, through them sending books to me. One of the publicists at Tor was moving on, and I had asked him if he could put me in touch with the people who were running Tor.com to see if they needed any reviewers. And back and forth with them. I started reviewing for them in 2011. Mm-hmm. And take a few steps back. Another Tor publicist, Dot Lynn, she, I think she was publicist for Brandon Sanderson for a while. And she recommended me to San Francisco and Sacramento Book Review. It's a West Coast newspaper type thing that is free if you go to bookstores out there. It had an online component, so I did some reviews for them. But Tor since 2011, and then the Bagel Overlord asked me if I wanted to contribute last year, I think it was. So since then, I've been doing The Completist, which I take a look at a series that's figured out, completed. And occasional book review, and now I'm doing Mind Melts. So,
hi-oh!
Yeah. Hi-o. I have one due on Wednesday, so I'm hoping the remainder of the people who said they'd participate will get back to me in the next day or two.
So when he says that, I feel a chill go down my spine, and I have to search my inbox to see if I was on his list.
No, you weren't.
Because I've gotten a couple here recently and have completely missed the deadlines.
Now, with the mind melds these days, I guess John Bernardo used to do them just by himself. How many people are doing mind melds now? I feel like there's quite a few now.
Paul Weimer.
Yeah.
Andrea Little Johnson. Red Reviewer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Andrea Johnson. Johnson, yeah.
Uh-huh. James Aquilone. Mm-hmm. Me. Mm-hmm. And there, I forget the other
Kristen,
one.
Wasn't Kristen doing them for a while? Kristen Centricelli?
She might be, yeah. Yeah, she is.
And Nick Sharps, I think, was
Nick Sharps.
Them. Yeah, so a lot of people do those now. Do they go up once a week? How frequently are the mind melds now?
I think they're once a week. The schedule that JP has us on, it's about once a week.
And JP used to do them for a little while, too. So the concept there, John, was to kind of spread the pain.
Yeah, sure.
Because those are big, fat, hairy things to put together.
Absolutely.
It helps to know a little bit of HTML. And in one of my previous jobs, I had a couple week HTML course, and then doing my blog, I compose it all in HTML, and it makes it easier just to have like a template. And because of that, it makes the mind meld a little easier for me to compile.
And just so you understand, John, this is way inside baseball, but yeah, a lot of the posts on SF Signal, John prefers, our bagel overlord prefers a specific kind of formatting, and that requires you to go into the HTML. And not everyone likes to go into the HTML. So it can be kind of fun.
I try and whatever I submit to SF Signal, I want to make it as easy for them to
And that's awesome and very appreciated. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did when I saw mind melds, and I know those tend to be the most successful read posts on SF Signal. And so many moons ago when I was an active blogger, I did a sort of a music version of that one time. And I'm like, well, this is so good. And what's funny, so it ended up being two parts. And I think I was going to call it the Interstellar Jukebox, and it was just going to be sort of science fiction-related music stuff. And so I asked a bunch of people, and it ended up being two parts because I had like 20 people involved. And I still get hits on those posts, even though they're like 5 years ago now. But they were such a pain to put together, and I didn't write a word of it. Like, it was just,
compiling. Yeah.
It was horrible. It was work that I'm like, I'm never doing that again. Never doing it again.
to be honest, moderating the forums at Science Fiction and Fantasy World kind of helped me. It's good background to get these mind melds out because, the discussion forums are not quite as active now as they were before Twitter, basically. We've got a lot of members that have come and gone, and there's a core group, but at one point there would be, I want to say hundreds of new posts a day. It's simmered down a lot. But point being, you see a lot of things people want to talk about, and you can kind of resurrect that with a different group at SF Signal.
And John, I want to throw out there, I think Rob is awesome in everything he does, but I do want to...
Oh, thanks.
You're talking about the Interstellar Jukebox that you did the one time. Now, imagine that you're Donardo, and you're doing the mind meld, and you're also doing the books received, and you're also doing the tidbits, and you're doing these things every freaking day. The man is a machine. He's insane.
Does he have a day job?
I admire him. Yes, he does. He has an incredibly intense day job where he is coding and doing all this stuff. And so that's why I tell people he is the hardest working person in fandom, and he completely deserved the Hugo that he won.
Absolutely.
So, he must not sleep.
Very little, 6 hours. Max.
Yeah.
I've gone on and tried to do something, at 11:30 at night on SF Signal, which is 12:30 his time, and he's got to be up and at work the next day. And I'll be trying
to
do something.
Time zones again, Patrick.
I'll be doing something in the website, something will happen. I'm like, oh crap. And so I'll send John an email and he'll reply because he's still up working on stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it's crazy. But so Rob, because you've been at this for so long, obviously it's meaningful to you in some way. So what do you get out of it? Like what do you get out of doing all this? I mean, do you have aspirations to write too? Is it, what's
Yeah. I mean, I have writing aspirations too. I've slowed down in my writing now only because of work is, you know, I can put in overtime and I can get paid for overtime where I work. So when I can do that, I do that. But I like being part of the community. I like getting the books for free. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. A lot of these books I would read anyway. Like, for example, I just, the latest review I did for Science Fiction and Fantasy World is Robin Hobb's new one, Fool's Assassin. Mm-hmm. I would have gotten that book anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like talking about books. I like sharing my opinion on them. I was an English major, so I, you know, clearly I like, you know, just writing about the books. Mm-hmm. And I like being, it puts me in the community, and I like being part of the community.
Cool. And then, you know, and it's just, you know, it's nice when you can get together, whether virtually or in real life, like we said. It's nice to get together with an Ed Lazzolari and to talk about this kind of stuff. And
yeah.
Because, you know, the people that you meet at your job or wherever, chances are they're not going to be able to have a meaningful discussion about the Wheel of Time.
Where I'm working now, the guy who sits next to me, a couple weeks ago, he said, what'd you do this week? And I said, I saw Guardians of the Galaxy. What's that? How do you not know what Guardians of the Galaxy is? At the time, it was the biggest movie in the world.
Yeah. So that's... Yeah, so, exactly. So if nothing else, you get to be around like-minded individuals, but very cool. Okay, so in wrapping it up, so Rob, once again, his Twitter is Rob H. Bedford. His website is robbedford.blogspot.com, and you can go check out his stuff at tour.com and SF Signal and SFF World. Rob, anything else you want to let people know about before we get going?
I might have a reread project at tour.com in the next couple months, so keep an eye on that. You'll definitely hear about it if you're following me on Twitter. So,
cool. Let me guess, you're going to reread The Wheel of Time in 2 weeks.
No, I've reread that in preparation for the last book last year. Yeah. I might reread that in 10 years.
You're going to reread Tad Williams' Sorrow, Pain, Memory, Thorn.
Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn. How'd you guess?
Yeah,
I know that he's going to be doing something soon. He's going to go back to that.
Yeah, that's coming out next year. So that's, for me, that's top two or three fantasy series.
And, it's an awesome series. It's one of the first ones I read.
It and the fact that that kind of gave Martin the impetus to write A Song of Ice and Fire kind of is pretty important to me. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great series of books. I love them. This is the third time I'm reading them.
Cool. Cool, very good. Patrick, what do you have going on this week?
Well, speaking of Tad Williams, he was over on SF Signal, and that's how I knew that he was doing a sequel. He came on, and we talked Epic Fantasy, him and Kate Elliott and Felix Gilman and Laura Resnick and James Gates and I. And
Sarah.
Sarah Chorn was there. She was geeking out with us. And it was a great episode. I suggest people go listen to it. And I did actually give Tad crap because he is one of the only authors who's ever written characters that made me yell at the characters.
I love that. War of the Flowers, get that wrong. That's definitely. I actually read book one of his recent series. I forget the name of the series. I haven't finished the series yet, but I liked that one.
Bobby Dollar series?
No, the one before that. The other epic fantasy.
Oh, Shadow March.
Yes,
Shadow
March. I read book one.
That was pretty good too.
I liked book one. I haven't gotten to the rest of it yet, but I like that. Cool. So you could check all that stuff out. Anything other stuff you want to point people at, Patrick, before we wrap it up?
That's all the same stuff, man. ATFMB, SF Signal, Kirkus Reviews. I've got a thing of Outlander out over there on Kirkus, and I'm hopefully going to do this Dave Gibbons Doctor Who collection over there, too.
Whoa. Gibbons has a Doctor Who collection?
Gibbons has a Doctor Who collection. It was it was on the last episode. Did you not listen to that one yet, Rob? I mean, come on. It's Doctor Who, and it's Dave Gibbons' collection. It's everything that he did for the Doctor Who magazine during the Fourth Doctor's reign.
Cool. Alrighty then.
That's awesome. Alright, and then for me this week, you can just check out my music over at johnanilio.com and follow me on Twitter at johnanilio. And everybody, thank you for joining us this week, and we will see you next time.
get it undone someday when your head is much lighter. Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun. Someday when the world is much brighter.
I'm trying to feel. behalf of the group and ourselves, I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.